Listen, honey, I just got the coolest news. So my producer really fell in love with our podcast that we had in the past with the Love Gurus. They were an amazing couple that talked to us about intimacy and how to...
Tantric sex.
Have tantric sex and make love in a much more therapeutic way. And so my producer, Annalise, decided to go to one of their goddess circles where they have a session with women and they connect on a deeper level and learn more about having this intimacy with each other, cupping your puss, the whole thing. And Annalise was in the goddess circle and she said, Jeannie, out of all of these women that were there, two of the women actually came to the circle because they had learned about the Love Gurus through your podcast.
That's awesome.
That's
which
crazy.
I just think is so cool. Thank you, Marav, and thank you, Dennis.
Full circle.
Full circle. Yeah. And I guess that really means a lot to me because, A, I was really moved by the Love Gurus. I think they're thoroughly talented and they walk the walk. So to learn from them firsthandedly and see how it's transcended through their relationship, you know that you're taking something very authentic home to yourself or with your loved one. Number two, you just don't think that your podcast will actually influence somebody to get up, get in their car, go drive, you know, to meet someone else and to release themselves trustingly into the hands of the Love Gurus because of our podcast. Like, you don't think that influence could be that transparent. Like, that's really cool.
Yeah, and it's real life. It's like people are taking the podcast and like taking what you gift them into their real lives.
Yes.
Like applied living.
Yeah, cool. Because when I talk here on the podcast, the guests me and Dennis curate are because they have something interesting or something we don't know about or something we want to bring specifically to our audience because it influenced us in some way. So to see you guys actually take from that, I read all of your DMs, by the way. Whenever you send me messages of where you're listening to your podcast, that's my favorite. When you guys are driving, you know, or doing your makeup, and I always repost everything on my Instagram. That already means a lot. So for you guys to get up and go support our experts in their crafts, thank you for doing that. So welcome to Listen, Honey. How you know? On the mics is Marav, my beautiful tech girl, assistant, side chick, everything. Dennis, my brother who brought me into the world of podcasts.
Hey,
how are you guys, by the way?
A little bit warm in the armpit.
It's real hot in here.
We call it the armpit because the studio is kept very warm.
Yes.
I think Annalise just wants us to stay here. She doesn't want us to leave. Maybe that's why.
Coagulate, yeah.
Yes, just mush into each other like grilled cheese. But today's podcast, again, is a special one for the fam. You guys know I started this podcast to have more introspective questions with you guys, have a little bit more of a long-winded session of getting deep. And so I like to open up this moment to answer your questions. And so this is where Marav and I will open up the questions that you guys have sent me through the DMs. And let's just jump right into it because I want to talk to my fam. Feel good about that, guys? Okay, fine. So this first question comes from Boopity Boop. I'm not going to name these names so we can keep, you know, people anonymous. But this question says, I'm an atheist, but I've fallen in love with a man who is very Christian. He's been very open and understanding of our differences, but I'm worried that the closer we get, the harder this will be. If we get married, have kids, will he want to raise them Christian? Am I getting ahead of myself here, or can we still have shared values? Friend, Boopity Boop, as a woman who is divorced, I will absolutely say that faith or religion is definitely something that has to be spoken about or has to be planned out if you want to move forward in a relationship, right? So finances is the number one thing for divorce. Next is like problematic situations with family planning, that i.e. children, finances. And then third is religion. So I don't want you to get caught up in that web. And the one lesson I know that's super true is any problem you have in the dating phase is going to be magnified times 10 fucking million thousand when it comes to marriage. So you definitely are doing the right thing by presenting this question now. So I don't think there's anything wrong with people of different backgrounds blending. Although the Bible says that you need to be of equal yoke, that you have to be balanced, basically, that both people have to be equally yoked when it comes to their beliefs. I also know a lot of relationships that work well because of the way they place religion in their household. So I know couples where the husband may not be Christian, but he attends church with the wife because that's something that brings peace to her. And he doesn't mind sitting in church because he learns a good word, but he doesn't necessarily answer to Jesus. I also know couples who may not really believe in Jesus, but they really love the structure and the discipline of church. So they put their kids through Christian schools and have their kids go to church, and it just makes everybody feel good at the table together when they say grace, even though they really aren't practicing Christianity, but they want their kids to. I've seen all different types of dependencies on religion. What is important is for you. I know that being a Christian for me, it is customarily important to be able to talk about your faith, to be able to pray with your partner, to be able to understand what the Bible teaches and make some better choices versus the ratchet ones that you have in your mind. So if that's important to you and you need somebody to keep you accountable and help, also someone you can, like your prayer partner that you can go to when life, you know, gets tough, who are you going to go to? I wouldn't really want to recommend you to go to your friends when you can't go to your man or your husband or your partner in life. So think about those things. If those things are really important in your walk with God, then you want to be able to go to your man so that you don't have to go to someone outside of your relationship to find that refuge, right? Because that can lend to emotional cheating. It can also just remove him of something that's super, it's a super structure inside of your relationship. At the same time, if your faith is kind of like just to you and you don't really need it to be about anybody else and you're strong in your faith and how he chooses to walk isn't going to influence you in any way, then maybe you guys are going to be fine. Now that's what's important first for your walk. Now when it comes to children later on, you absolutely, I don't care when you do it, but you absolutely have to have that talk of when you plan, how you plan to raise the kids. Because I mean, I know a person who is Christian, but his baby mama is of Buddhist, and she practices hardcore Buddhism. And so he's like, she's the mom, she's with the baby most of the time. I just care that my daughter has a faith. So his daughter is Buddhist and he's Christian, and he just loves that his daughter has a faith and respectfully, you know, understands religion. So it's to each his own, but you absolutely have the conversation and come to an agreement before you do any type of family planning or accidentally get pregnant, please. Does that make sense, guys? I know I ranted there, but that's an important one.
No, it does make sense.
All right, yeah, something better. Did you know that more marriage facts?
Dennis has been popping out with these marriage facts, Marav. Did you see it here?
Yeah, I'm fascinated by people who still get married. And so 70% of people are more likely to choose someone that is in their political party than in their same religious sect. So
I think that makes sense.
Well, and that's what I was going to say about,
and
like,
it's only the 40% that go with like their faith.
The religious.
Yeah.
The
and like how you
Which
are,
is still a large number.
Yeah, and how you are, I'd say, about your faith, if you are political about your religion,
oh, yeah, they can
then
that,
it's
yeah.
bad. You know, like if I'm a Jew and you're a Christian and we can coexist, like we can have a beautiful love and have both faiths in our home, but like when your belief system, you become political about it and you become like, well, mine's better, or like your faith is bad because of X, Y, and Z, or making assumptions about a faith that isn't your own, like that's when it becomes sticky in the interfaith, which is why talking about it, like you said, is the number one thing. You
know, absolutely.
You just talk about it, because I think like some people just inherently care more. It's a personality thing. They care more about that than others.
Yeah.
So you have to, like, you don't have to be the same religion, or you don't even have to, like, one person could be religious and the other person could just not be religious. It just depends on like your personality beyond your spirituality.
Yeah. Sidebar question. I noticed that you called yourself the J word, and I just want to ask, is that something I can say, or is it like the N word?
Call me a Jew?
Yeah. I feel like that's derogatory.
Honestly, Jews have a sense of humor.
Of course. No, I know, but I can't say that though.
No, but I was going to say Jews have a sense of humor about our own racism. Like, believe it or not. Like,
yeah, but I can't say it because I'm not Jewish, nor am I Jewish.
You can't say that, but I'm just saying, like, if you called me a Jew, I wouldn't be offended. And I don't know a lot of Jews that would, unless they could tell.
I would
never do it. Unless they could tell that you would say, you're Jew, or like, you stinky Jew. Like, if you say it like in a way like that, then it's like clearly there's some
emotion. It's the N-word. Unless you have had that experience, I don't think that word's meant for you. Unless
you're
walking.
Jeannie, you have permission to call me Jew if you want to.
Oh, it's not gonna happen, but still. But thank you for that permission. I feel like it's a gift.
They have very good sense, like deprecating humor, and they can laugh at themselves.
Yeah, it's a huge thing. Actually, I got into a fight with my also from my friend's Jewish parents once, because I asked him, I wanted to make a racist joke. I won't go into it. And I said, "Are you guys offended by racist jokes. And my friend's mom goes, only if, yes, he does not like racist jokes speaking about her husband. He only likes them if they're racist against Jews, because they are Jews. And it's like, okay, it's only okay to like make fun of ourselves. Oh. That kind of thing.
Yes. That's true. I get it. Mm-hmm. I get it. That's the safe.
Comment under this Instagram post if you agree that you can use the J word, because I want to know from other Jewish people, because I've heard from every Jew-ish friend that they said it's okay for me to use it, but I want to hear from some strangers, because my friends would obviously be like, girl, go ahead, I don't care. You know what I mean? Like, that's different. So,
and we also want to know how many Jews love Jeannie Mai.
Oh, please. So comment at the Jeannie Mai, THEJEANNIEMAI.
Lots of J's in there.
Thank you, guys. All right, next question is, how do you know it's time to change your career? I'm 23, in law school, have had this as my plan for years, but I'm not sure that I'm happy. But so many people would be let down, not to mention the insane amount of debt I've accrued. Is it ever too late? Should I just deal with it and trust that my love of this will return? I forget the exact statistic, but Mirav, maybe you can help me out. The percentage of Americans that end up in a job that has nothing to do with their college degree. It's pretty alarming.
They get a degree and then they end up doing something different that doesn't have anything to do
with it.
Yeah, I think over half. Right? More, maybe more?
I don't know. We'll let Mirav take a moment for that. But in saying this to my friend, let's call you Mumu, first of all, at 23 years old, right, you're still really young, and I don't know how far you've gotten into your law, your studies. And even though you've had this plan for years, I don't know what it is about your studies that's making you lose your passion. So what I would suggest is to get some type of internship or some type of shadowing project where you can be in a law office or be in the court of law. Because being in your desk and studying law is very different than actually seeing it in action, right? So when it comes to my, and I'm going to relate this just to what I'm doing, although law is very different from obviously what I'm practicing. I studied journalism in a community college. I also practiced a little bit in my home, in my mirror, in order to have a camera presence. But it's nothing like actually doing auditions. It's nothing like actually doing small TV shows in my local community. So if I studied journalism and just sat there in class for 4 years, I actually would hate TV and I wouldn't be ready for it. And when I thought I was popping and fly as fuck, you know, in front of my mirror at home, I was not ready for what I learned in front of live cameras and the pressures of what happens in Hollywood. So it wasn't until I actually moved to LA and started auditioning and feeling the cutthroat expectation of casting directors and feeling how easily the network can slice you, dice you, turn you into what they want, how much comparison there is between me and the prettier, younger, skinnier model next to me, all these different things that play a role in whether or not I want to choose this career. And thankfully I did, because of being in the hands-on experience that made me realize, yo, I'm built for this. I can do this and I'm different from all of these other women and I feel confident about this. So I'm going to walk in my truth and here I am today. So for you, I just wouldn't throw in the towel yet until you actually are in the environment of law and justice and attorneys and having someone to shadow. Because then you can get a breath of what it's really like there to see if you enjoy that environment. And then when it comes to law also, you know, is it sometimes if you're studying litigation, that's very different and draining than criminal law. Or, you know, there's different avenues that you can take if it's still just the justice system that you want to work for. So I hope that helps you out. Basically, I'm asking you to get some hands-on experience and then travel within the realm of law to see which part of law, maybe it's family law, that you want to study. The first guest that I had on my podcast, Marcy Levine, was my family attorney. And she does not like law. She does not like litigation. She does not like criminal justice. But she loves helping families stay together, or she loves figuring out how to set people on their next chapter in their lives. So family law is for her. But she hates every other part of law and she doesn't like lawyers. So you know what I mean? You might find that niche for you and you might need to be that bomb lawyer we have out there that is specific in that area that nobody else wants to serve. So I hope that helps.
And the percentage looks like roughly a third or around 27% of college graduates work in a field related to their major.
Wow, a third.
And
that's a lot.
A third. So 70% do not.
Yeah, 70% don't work in a field related to their studies.
66%, sorry.
Wait, 66%. Wait, wait. So
two-thirds?
A third do work in jobs. Holy shit.
66%.
And you said over half.
Yeah, for sure.
And you know,
but
there's...
Go ahead.
Oh, no, there's also just a nice little allegory or example is this guy in San Diego named Shlomo, who many listeners might know about because he's sort of infamous. You can look him up on YouTube. He goes to the boardwalk down by the water, and all he does is rollerblade. And he's just this dude who spends all his free time rollerblading along the water. And his whole thing is he used to have like a really rigorous job and like a really intense career. And he just one day decided to quit. I don't know if he got sick or what it was, and just started rollerblading and just spending all his time rollerblading. And his famous quote, when people are like, why do you do this? Like, what is, like, why did you change your life or whatever? He said, do what you like. And so I think that that's a good guiding thing. My dad actually says that to us all the time now, because it's like, it doesn't matter what you're doing now, as long as you like it. And it doesn't mean that you'll like it 5 years from now, but 5 years from now, you can do something else that you like.
I absolutely agree. I also want to know how Shlomo is making money too.
Feed himself to supplement that energy it takes to rollerblade down the fucking boardwalk.
He's got a Nike sponsorship.
BT Dubs. Wait, when you said the boardwalk, you're talking about Santa Cruz?
No, this was San Diego, in San Diego somewhere. I don't know San Diego well, but.
Got it.
At Santa Cruz Beach Boardwalk.
No,
in the warm California sun. You guys don't act like you're not from the South Bay.
No, I absolutely rep Santa Cruz, but I didn't know we had a commercial.
Oh, the Santa Cruz Beach Boardwalk.
So I was going to tell you that every time I'm in Santa Cruz, I make it a point. For all my Bay Areans out there, you know what Santa Cruz is. I make it a point to go down to the boardwalk and go on that one ride. The haunted house ride.
Oh, yeah.
It's so chintzy. It's one little big coffin.
So fun.
And it just goes in a circle.
Love
and you're
it.
Like, duk, 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 duk.
It smells like a short circuit, right?
Yes. And then you have the grizzly, that's Great America. You have that.
Great America's so fun, though.
Yeah.
It's the wooden roller coaster.
Yeah.
Looks like it's about to burst into flames.
Giant Dipper, that's right. And for those of you who've seen the movie Us, that was filmed in Santa Cruz at the Santa Cruz Beach Boardwalk.
Cool.
And it's actually that creepy. It really is.
Accurate.
Also, Lost Boys.
Lost Boys,
yeah.
That house still exists in Santa Cruz, or one of the houses they filmed there. I know this because I went to school there.
There we go. And did you end up following your degree?
Actually, I'm a great example for this person who wrote in, because no, I have not. And
what did you study?
I was a creative writing major, which is useless. You know, if you like, there's no career set up unless you want to try to be a writer, which is one of the most competitive things to try to be, even though it's also one of the most sought after things.
It's so important, though.
And it's so important. But I graduated the worst year for graduating college in American history, except for in the Great Depression, which was 2012. And my first real job out of college, I did campaign work first, but then I worked at an investment bank. Okay, you guys, creative writing. And investment banking, Morgan Stanley, those don't go together. But sometimes you have to veer off course just a little bit and the road is not straight. You know, like it's wavy, it's curvy. You kind of have to take a segue or like take a break, do something unrelated, and you learn from it. Like how you were saying about Marcy, your lawyer. There are probably so many skills from this law degree that this person is asking or studying in right now that are useful in other contexts of life outside of a courtroom, you know, like take whatever you're learning in the moment and like just bring it with you into the next chapter.
Exactly. And with that, we're going to take a break because you've got to come back for the next chapter of our fam questions. Stay tuned.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
Hey guys, it's Cheyenne Davis. You may know me from MTV's Teen Mom OG, or Think Loud Crew podcast. I'm here with my dad, Papa Floyd, to tell you about our new podcast, Unfiltered Kitchen.
The kitchen is the hub of the household for many of us. The one-stop shop for conversations, both big and small. Cheyenne and I have been having open conversations about all aspects of life in our kitchen since well before she was able to see over the counter.
And now we're inviting you into our own kitchen as a part of the family.
Unfiltered Kitchen is a two-way street. I share my advice on cocktails, cooking, parenting, and the lessons I've learned.
And I inform my dad what it's like to raise kids today, how generational barriers affect us, and the joys of being a daughter. Well, your daughter.
Get ready for a whole lot of unfiltered advice. You can take it or leave it, but you're never going to leave this table feeling hungry for more.
Listen to Unfiltered Kitchen wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. We are answering all of your amazing questions today because you, my fam, and I love being able to just add a little sprinkle of sauce into your life. So, Marav, do you have another question from one of our fams?
Okay. So this is another sort of career-related question.
Okay.
So hopefully you can expand on it a little more, which is, why did you decide to pursue a career in entertainment?
Why did I decide to pursue entertainment? I didn't decide to. I just put one foot in front of the other in what I love to do, to be really honest with you. So naturally, I'm an introvert. I say this all the time and nobody ever believes me. I don't love being in front of a lot of people. I get super nervous whenever I have to be in front of a big crowd. I can kill it, but I think it's also just that naturally I don't crave it, which also makes a good personality to be in this type of a pressuring city. I noticed that my friends that fold are the ones that really want to be famous or really love money because then they're just doing it for that. Mm-hmm. If they don't make enough money, then they start to crumble or they blow their money on drugs because of the pressures, or they start to follow fame, which a lot of famous people do drugs and just fuck a lot and put them in jeopardizing situations. I'm not into that. So I'm kind of a nice boundary away from that. But what I do love to do is entertain people, make people feel good. So when I first started out in makeup, I was just really good in makeup. But really what you do in makeup is you're going face to face with someone. You're standing closer to them than you are in a normal conversation as strangers. And you just make them feel beautiful and you teach them how to feel beautiful. And in between that, you're talking about what they're excited about in their life, what they're getting ready for, what their insecurities are. You get really close to people when you do their makeup. So I got so good at that. I grew in MAC Cosmetics and also really grew in my confidence on how to talk to people. When I'm working with people like Missy Elliott and Sarah Jessica Parker, all of a sudden I'm putting one foot in front of the other and they're leaning on me to make them look beautiful. Therefore, I just start getting really confident in being able to talk to anybody, whether it's, you know, an A-list celebrity or a person next door. Then because my mom taught me to have a really good eye with style and color coordination and body theory, then I was able to start to style celebrities because at the time before, there weren't stylists. So when I would be doing makeup on celebrities, they also needed some help with their wardrobe, and I would be able to kind of put some things together and help bring out their silhouette. And that kind of just helped build my styling, and I'm doing air quotes, path. And to be really honest, I started out in a very humble home, Vietnamese American household, 15 members living in a 3-bedroom home. And that really led me to being always more associated with the everyday person rather than celebrities. So even though I was getting paid to fly and help celebrities, whenever I'd fly back home and these regular everyday people would ask me, how did you get that smoky look on Missy Elliott? Or how did you get Alicia Keys to put together those 3 colors and it looks so good on her body? Like, I liked helping the regular person than I did the celebrities because I related to them more. I wanted to share with them the secrets of how to make certain makeshift things from Michaels, how to buy vintage, how to cinch clothing so that you show more of your shape, and how to kind of trick the camera to make yourself look 10 pounds thinner. Whatever it may be, I was more interested in helping the people. So again, one foot in front of the other, I said, what is the biggest medium that will allow me to help more people than one-to-one at back home in San Jose? So I said television. At the time, it was only television.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, like, it was only
technical. You wanted to reach the most people, yes. Like not on a one-on-one, but
Just massive. Because there I was at home and, you know, somebody would say, I'm coming over at 3 o'clock and I'm, you know, going to bring over three outfits and you tell me which one I should get rid of. Or I would have people schedule me for a closet consultation and I would charge $500 and I'd come over to your house and I would go through your closet and get rid of everything that doesn't look right on you and then make you a shopping list of things that do look good with on you. And if you paid me by the hour, I would go shopping with you and help you fill up your rack with things that coordinate with the things you already have in your closet. It was a whole business. But I was helping one-to-one-to-one-to-one person. So I said, you know what? I really enjoy helping these everyday women than I do the celebrities. How can I spread my message on a greater platform? That was TV. So I drove 50 minutes from San Jose up to San Francisco to the first radio station, which is KTSF. And I pitched to them doing style segments where I taught people makeup or taught them how to style in between their commercials. And it just all kind of, you know, took off from there. Again, didn't know how to talk to a camera until I just realized when the camera was on me that it was no different than me being face to face with these people when I was doing their makeup or when I was in their closet teaching them how to dress. All of that ended up giving me experience on how to talk into a camera and tell that woman exactly how to get the look, even though I'm speaking to millions, you know? So
yeah. And from my point of view, to see Jeannie come up was like basically one weekend, my brother and Jeannie comes up into Daniel in my room. We have a bunk bed in there, and she's like, hey, keep your weekend free. I need you guys to come out to Santa Cruz with us, right? So we get in the car. Daniel's making his little movies at the time, his little short movies where there's like no plot. It's just weird. You know what I mean? It's just really super artsy and shit like that, like really long takes. And so anyways, he's making these videos. So he's trying to do the camera thing. I'm DJing at the time, so I'm doing sound. We get in the car with Jeannie and she's like, look, she prints out, we print out like a MapQuest. We just want to go look at like see weird people, get some footage for her because what she needs to do is make.
Oh my God, I can't believe you remember this.
She needs to make a reel, right? A reel is a resume for film people, essentially. It's like a little demo that you would show to people.
Yes.
And basically we get in the car with her and she has this paper that she wrote down bullet points. A lot of your notes are still sitting in the attic at the house.
And wait,
sometimes when I clean out your house, I find stuff and I'm like, holy shit, so humble. Like, so she went on a website called So You Wanna Be, right? So You Wanna
Be. Oh my God, I remember that was bookmarked on my computer.
So You Wanna Be a Television Host is what she was trying to Google. You know what I mean? I don't even think it was Google at the time. It was Yahoo. Right? Yahoo and MapQuest.
And So You Wanna Be was an amazing website that had everything. It was like, so you wanna be a magician. So you want to be
a taxidermy.
So you want to be an accountant. It was So You Want to Be Anything, and I put So You Want to Be a TV host.
Yeah, man. So okay, so then
I can't believe you found this.
Huh? Yeah, dude. There's a bunch of shit like what.
You didn't throw it away, did you?
No, never. No, you just have a lot of humble stuff. I'm like, wow. It's like everyone start. This might like relate to the last question too. As speaking tangentially, but like if you love it, for sure, fucking do it, right? There's no question about it. If you even like it, like even a modicum of like, try it anyways, because it's like Marav said, it's not a straight route. Everyone's journey is different. And even in the process of failing, you're gonna find like other shit and you just go do it. That's why the people who aren't using their degree, they don't hate life, you know what I mean? Maybe some, but it's still chill, you know? So we go to Santa Cruz and we literally start helping her film. She's like, she's trying to break it down to us. So guys, I want to be a television host and this is what I need to do. I need to make a reel. So you guys are going to walk around and film. What are we going to film, Jeannie? Well, we're going to look for like eccentric stuff. Like, you know, like there was a guy who had like stuck a bunch of like plastic toys to his like Volkswagen Beetle. You know what I mean?
Dennis is remembering this. I have to be honest with you guys. I don't remember any of this because I did a lot of drugs when I was in high school.
I did a lot of drugs too, but we're just very different people.
I just have a bad memory. This is crazy.
And it's crazy. Yeah, she I don't know. But the thing is, I think it's like a jar and you're very busy, so you can only remember so much. So like Marav's got you going around everywhere. You're not going to pick up the little nuances. You know what I mean?
So what happened? Did we interview the guy with the stuff on his truck?
We interviewed everybody, all the weirdos, like just everybody. And that's all it took. Like it started from fucking seed. You know what I mean?
And just to piggyback off of what you just said, Dennis, what's interesting is I don't know how to interview. Like I never got taught that. But I lived in a house, well, at home, It was me and my brothers and my mom and my dad. And then we sponsored the rest of my dad's family over from Vietnam that couldn't escape. So you had a household full of a young generation of me and my brothers. And then you had an older generation ranging from, 80 years old of my grandma and grandpa down to like 20-year-old aunts. And they all spoke Vietnamese. So I felt like I kind of played host in my house as I would meld the questions and answers and conversations in Vietnamese and English, kind of like Goi was one of my aunts and she was learning how to speak English. So I would say, Goi, how was your day today? Tell everybody how your day was.
See,
you
I
guys,
never knew this,
Goi so went crazy. To Mission College and she took two classes today and she's very excited because her day went great. Right, Goi? And she'd be like, yes, today good for me, you know, and she's answering. But I was hosting and I didn't know it, you know. And then again, going back to doing makeup and just loving doing makeup and doing styling, but I was close-knit with these women and getting very intimate about the bulges they didn't like, their eyes that they felt were too saggy, and knowing how to talk them back up. Because when I remembered one thing is when you're so close to people that you can actually see the inflections in their eyes when you hit a light bulb and you encourage them to look better, feel better about themselves, you start to learn how to use the right words. You know, it's kind of like when you ask somebody to wish you luck. If someone's just like, good luck, break a leg, it doesn't really mean something to you. But if someone looks at you and they're like, hey, you are an amazing dancer. There's moves that you do that I've never seen from anybody before. It draws an emotion inside me. I can't wait to see you perform tonight. That is going to make you go out there and soar. And so I know how to speak to women specifically because I know what will make a woman really internalize something and take it home from herself, not just, you are special, you are unique, there's nobody like you. And so, you know, I mean, that works for some people, but women like to hear specifics so they can marinate in it themselves and start to speak that way for themselves. And so that was one thing on how I learned how to interview Dennis. And then that reel, I actually learned that because I stole a tape from that KTSF. Interview. So I went to KTSF and I asked for an internship. I asked that I could work logging tapes. And so I logged news tapes. So if somebody covered a fire in Oakland or it was like a robbery, you know, in Fremont, there would be tapes and I would write the dates on them and log them into the system and then put the tapes in the hard copies somewhere else. And I remember newscasters would come and they would apply for the job and they would submit their tapes with their headshot. Well, I stole one of them and took it home and I watched it. And that's how I learned what a reel was. And it was basically clip after clip after clip after clip of them speaking into the camera with exciting news thingies. But because I wanted to be a TV host, I thought, I don't have news and I don't want to talk news because news is very... it's very robotic, you know, where I wanted to show...
Cadences too.
Yes. Yeah. And at the time, the host that I would see was MTV, like TRL, you know what I mean? And so I thought more excitement, more personality. So that's why we went looking for loonies.
Yeah. And Santa Cruz is full of them.
A lot of color.
I would die to find my original reel. Do you think we can find it? Do you have it?
I think you have a lot of stuff. It's like remarkable, man. Like,
where is it at? Really, where are you talking about?
I talk about in the attic. In the attic. Yeah.
Are my diaries up there, by the way? I used to keep a lot of diaries.
Yeah, you have some diaries.
Oh, dude, he's read them all. This is crazy. My brothers read my diary back.
No, I don't read.
When my siblings read my diary, it was one of the most traumatic things in my life.
Oh, I remember dying. Did yours have a lock on it?
No, but after I like literally went in and started scribbling over it and writing about my own entries saying it was a joke with no E. It's a joke because I was afraid of having it read again by my siblings. Like, I'm not serious. Yeah, that's trauma.
You're the youngest, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and that's why they were all on you.
Yes.
Whereas I was ironically the oldest, but the oldest of two reckless brothers. Mm-hmm. So they had a whole bunch of fun. Like breaking into my diary. I remember one of you guys clipped my little lock on my Hello Kitty.
Yeah, just a mechanical thing, but we didn't like read it. You know what I mean? I didn't read it. Daniel was crazy.
He was like a monkey. He would hide under my bed and wait to see what kind of makeup I would use.
Dude, you.
Youngest
you know
sibling
that?
Protocol.
Because you lied to him.
Probably, but
what? You lied to him. Okay. Okay, one time he sees you walk out, right? He's like, "Well, how's your eyes do that? Like, they're so big, right?" And you're like, "I don't know, like why?" It was your lashes or something. Your lashes and your eyeliner. He's like, "Your eyes are so big. Like, do you wear makeup, right?" And you're like, "No, what are you talking about, right?" It's like, "You should go. I'm gonna go to work now, right?" She would just lie to us, right? Anyways, she kept doing this, right? And he's like, "God, I don't know what makeup is, but I swear that looks like makeup, right? And then so he hides under her bed. And he waits, right?
This fool crawled into my room. I woke up and went to the bathroom. So that was like 7 a.m. He crawled into the room at some point. So from 7 a.m., I took a little bit more of a snooze and then woke up and then started doing my makeup. So he hid there the whole fucking time. Yeah. And ended up waiting so that when he saw me go sit at my vanity and start to apply makeup, he jumped out and he said, "It's not natural, you liar." And I was like, "Oh my God, you weirdo. What is wrong with you?"
Oh my God, Holy cow, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
That was embarrassing. I remember that.
Yeah. And then I think when we're talking about this, what really humbles me is how much I know you guys are learning about the family. I'm learning about the family too, because we all have our own perspectives, right? And so that's really cool, actually.
You're right. Oh, yeah. I love that you remembered that, Dennis, because I don't remember that at all. But I know that I have lots of footage that equipped me to come to LA and actually have something to show for it. Because I didn't fake it till I make it, because I don't want to think that I was fake about it. There's nothing fake about the actual talent I had. I just faced it till I made it. You know what I mean? I just kind of like put on the right face and just kept going. You need a reel? I'll get a reel. You need me to have a resume? I'll put some shit on a resume. I'll go get some experience put on a resume.
By saying fake it, you mean because you had no formal education or training in the field that you were doing.
Yeah.
And that's just to say, like, if you have natural talent or something comes natural to you, like, you can just do it. You're not inauthentic or fake just because you don't have a degree backing it up.
Right.
Like, you can be you can self-educate and self-teach yourself, and that doesn't make it any less real. So,
absolutely.
You
know. Yeah. To answer your question, I definitely recommend that whatever you're good at, it doesn't have to be about the occupation. It's what is the skill set? Sometimes worry more about what your talents are than what the job occupation is. Like, just because you're good with numbers doesn't mean you might want to sit in a tax office all day. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Just if you're great with numbers, you might want to be the person who's figuring out the analytics of a YouTube personality or YouTube show. If you like numbers, you could also do the numbers for a hit network. My neighbor hates doing math, but she loves doing the accounting for big shows at NBC. You know, so it's about the talent. So for me, I loved connecting with people, empowering women, and entertaining. So I put that together and became a television host. If I had just aimed to become an actress, I don't know if I'd end up exactly where I am right now, because I was focused on TV. You know what I mean? All right. So I really appreciate these questions, you guys. Thank you so much for submitting them. I'm going to make sure I do this again. And every time I do, I ask out on the DM for you guys to send me questions, and me and Marav always collect them. And please do subscribe to this podcast. That's why Listen Honey exists. Share it with your friends. And my brother is trolling your guys' reviews. He shares them with me from Apple Podcasts. So anywhere that you can review, rate this podcast, let me know what you think. And of course, on my comment section of my Instagram too. And I really appreciate you.
Yeah, we're just starting, guys, so don't get mad at us, but we're gonna try to get a Listen Honey IG up so that we can start this conversation, that, you know, this back and forth.
I can't believe you got the IG handle. You're so smart.
I'm so scared. I did that out of fear.
Because we can't spell it. Was H-U-N-N-A-Y, right? Because it can't be H-O-N-E-Y.
Oh,
motherfucker. No. I hate you. Anyway, have a beautiful week, everybody. I love you.